paper. It's 9 a.m. on the 4th of April, 2013. We have two bills before us. House Bill 74, which has been scheduled for some time, and Senate Bill 23, similar topic matter, or previously conjoined twins, now separate bills. We have members present, Representative Munoz, Representative Holmes, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Guerra, Representative Costello, myself, Stoltz, Representative Wilson, Representative Edgman, Representative Thompson, and Vice Chair Newman. We have a quorum to do business. I'd like to invite folks from Department of Commerce up. Now, we've had other folks that are agencies that we have to remember, and they all work for the governor, so that was my gentle. Some forget. Not you guys, though.
No.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Sarah Fisher Goh, the Executive Director of Alaska Energy Authority.
Mr. Chair, Nick Shimoniak, Project Economist, Alaska Energy Authority.
Chairman Ted Leonard, Executive Director of AVA.
Welcome back. We had left, we hadn't quite finished discussing Senate Bill 23. Why don't we, given it's been at least, what, about 10 days or so now? We were dealing with some other minor issues prior. Why don't we just recap and talk about the interplay of both bills. So talk freely back and forth about both bills as you discuss the overall concept of providing a speedy solution to interior energy crises.
Thanks, sir.
Is that enough of a softball?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you.
To the chair, very quickly, again, House Bill 74 currently is the direct financing that was taken out of SB 23. Very quickly, what House Bill 74 would do and what it was in SB 23 is that it would allow ADA to provide development project financing for projects that the authority does not intend to own and operate. There's several reasons in economic development for ADA to have this ability. A couple very quick advantages. It allows ADA to more accurately match the financing to the project. It reduces the complexity and cost and time involved in structuring financing. And it also limits or mitigates the risk involved in owning a project. And the last very important aspect of it is it'll give us a vehicle to allow the same successful partnership that we have had with Alaskan banks and financial institutions in commercial development financing, that we would be able to allow the same type of partnerships to go in project financing. So very quickly, that's what HB 74 does. And then on SB 23, again, it's dealing
just
with...
Before we go on to SB 23, can you give us, without necessarily specific projects, the types of projects? Right now, we're obviously focused on the calendar year 2015 solution for the interior.
You bet. To the chair, very quickly, the type of projects we believe that this would be utilized for are industrial facilities. For example, we are looking at mining developments on Prince of Wales, which include the ability to invest in, for example, on rare earths, the separation plant, which would be very important for Alaska to be able to develop the rare earths that we have that are very unique to our state. Also on Prince of Wales, there's Niblack, which is looking at a mine that they're wanting to provide a mill or mining facilities in Ketchikan that would provide a large influx of high-paying jobs to the area. And these are the type of projects where ADA doesn't need to have a control through an ownership, but are very important for economic development in that region. And again, really would not need to take an ownership and bear the risk of having that ownership, for example, for environmental reasons.
Acknowledge my co-chair, Representative Osterman, has joined us, and we had just started discussion of the bills, and I had asked him what other projects that the ADA authorization would cover other than the obvious one, the interior gas solution. So that's where we joined us. So you didn't miss much.
Thank you.
No. And then also, if as we start looking at assisting, for example, the smaller independents in oil and gas production, we could be involved in production facilities for those projects. So I think mainly where we see the benefit would be in is assisting in resource development for these type of projects, where there is not really a state reason for ADA to have an ownership position in them, but there is a very large and important economic development reason for ADA to assist in.
Be the lending facilitator?
Yes. And it would also allow us, Chair, to partner with Alaska banks in these type of projects, too.
Questions? Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The original bill, Senate Bill 23, sponsored by the governor, and then now having the twinned bills put together, one with financing, the other one with the other stuff. What effect does that have? What potential effect would that have on the ADA trucking part of the bill? What impact would you see at ADA when trying to figure out which projects to support and not to support?
Through the chair to Representative Kawasaki, the direct financing probably would not have an effect on the financing, for example, of the production facility. I mean, pretty much it's already been stated that we would own a portion of that. Now, there is still a $20 to $40 million gap in that funding that we have due to the goal of having private investment in that. The direct financing may have an ability to assist in that portion of it through our revolving fund, but right now it's not intended to, but it could. And then it could also assist in any of the spin-offs in facilities after we get gas going to the interior Alaska with other commercial or project financings based off of that.
Follow-up.
Representative Kawasaki, through the chair.
Thank you. Through the chair, the $20 to $40 million gap that's currently there, the original Senate Bill 23 or House Bill 74 had very specific economics for the project to go forward, and it was, I mean, at least from my standpoint, seen as a Fairbanks trucking proposal or an interior trucking proposal. What are the project economics now if it were to stand, that this bill were to pass and Senate Bill 23 were to pass separately?
For the chair, I believe the economic, through the chair to Senator, Representative Kawasaki, the economics are the same. We believe that there are plenty of reasons and the rate of return for the private sector to be involved in the production facility on the North Slope. So we believe that we will give the investment for that. So we don't see a change in the economics due to this bill. This is really, the bill was combined to have the direct financing there and then the authorization for the $275 million to provide financing for this project, if I'm answering your question.
Yep. Thanks.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But it was, I just want to be clear, though. What was on HB 74 was currently on ADA's plate before the trucking project ever came to fruition. Is that true?
Through the chair to Representative Wilson, this has been identified for a while.
It's been a friend of the legislature for
right.
a while. It has been treated better some places than others.
But we have been looking at modernizing our tools, and this was a tool that we were going to request the legislature give to ADA, as I said before, to allow us to have a vehicle to partner with the financial institutions and for better matching financing to projects.
Yeah, we have a better Senate for Burbank.
And one follow-up, sir. And so this is another tool for ADA to be able to help the state of Alaska to diversify their economy beyond just the oil industry.
Through the chair to Representative Wilson, yes, we believe
that. I would even view the trucking and oil industry project. I mean, I think that'd be a misnomer to call it that.
Yes, Chair.
I guess my point is that we do have mining and other things that we can now be able to utilize.
Through the chair to Representative Wilson, yes.
Thank you.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Mr. Leonard. I'm reading in your pamphlet that this would not only add benefits such as to the North Star Borough School District by reducing their cost, but again, beyond that, with the Ambler Mining District, more towards rural Alaska and western Alaska, northwestern Alaska, to use this gas treatment facility out there. So when you mentioned it, there was a question on economics. What do you expect to be more of the positive economics on this, or economic driving opportunities that in the total amounts of money that could be actually derived from this from industry in the state?
Through the chair to Representative Newman, we don't have, the exact numbers except for the numbers that we have used where we'll be bringing down heating oil and I guess the equivalent of diesel down by about 50%, which would have a very a beneficial effect for mining as we switch over and start using LNG for industrial needs, that it will help them with penciling out their projects.
It's not going to bring down the cost of diesel and fuel. It would provide an alternative.
I think
you misspoke there.
Right.
And I just want to make sure this doesn't promise things
right.
that we can't
no.
deliver.
It would be a alternative to expensive fuels for them to use for their mining operations.
Representative Newman.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought I had heard discussions earlier about how some of these facilities, such as the gas treatment facility, because they are stackable mobile type facilities, can be moved so that they could be used over, such as an Ambler Mining District over in that area.
Through the
Leonard.
And we're getting also into AEA, but through the chair to Representative Newman, yes, this plant would be able to be moved, that it is modular and can be located once the in-state pipeline has came to where it would be most beneficial.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm getting a little confused. Are we combining the two bills, or are we addressing House Bill 74?
We are discussing both bills.
Both bills, okay.
And,
I'm going to make sure.
I might have other ideas for a future meeting.
Yeah, thank you. I was just making sure that I understood that we were addressing.
But
both
we haven't had a hearing on House Bill 74. Even if we were to combine them, I think the public process is served by hearing House Bill 74 separately. That's our intent to vet, no matter, even if we were to reunite the bills, we wouldn't have a legal requirement. But I think we have a. I think we have a process requirement to discuss the bill separately.
Thank you very much.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Mr. Leonard, this doesn't have anything to do about the projects, but over the years, you've done very good work in trying to spur economic development across the state. I applaud your work for that. I know the answer, but I just want to be comforted by you. The amount of financing that ADA is backing now with all of these cumulative projects that you've been working on, there's no danger that you're at any point where you're backing too many projects to jeopardize your fiscal stability and soundness, is there?
Through the chair to Representative Guerra, no, we do not believe so. In fact, we believe this tool will actually allow us to leverage more investment from our investment. It'll leverage more private investment through the ability to do guarantees. But currently, right now, I would say that we have approximately, based on our debt capacity, about $400 million of capacity right now. Plus, we do have very strong cash flows that are allowing us to provide investment in projects, so we don't believe that we have any capacity issues at this time.
Thank you, and through the chair.
Here.
And just so I have it, and actually it's more so that we can share it with our constituents at some point, not while you're in the middle of all this being in the fire, but would you mind sending me, or if the committee wants it, maybe a list of the projects, including these potential projects that you've helped finance maybe over the last 5 years? Just I think you have been a bright spot in the state's sort of portfolio of incentives.
Through the chair to Representative Guerra, we'd be glad to get that information for you.
All right, thanks.
In the committee.
Send it to the committee.
You bet.
Representative Ostrom, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. With or without this legislation, you probably heard some of the discussion on House Bill 4 of the gas pipeline and potentially coming to Tidewater, and then some of the discussion about whether we can expand that past Tidewater to do LNG to some of the other communities around, or to bring gas to some of the other coastal communities. With or without this, is that type of a project something that industry or private sector could come to you and look for a partner in doing that from Tidewater out to the communities?
Through the chair to Representative Osterman, yes, I believe that those would fall into our preview of our project definitions. The one thing that we cannot be involved in I believe it was SB 300, is that we cannot be involved in the financing of a in-state pipeline. But other facilities that would be involved with that, we could, or in bringing propane or those type of items, yes, we could be involved.
Thank you.
While you're up here, the folks that were from the Gas Development Corporation, they raised expectations on propane, but then kind of backed off when it came to a commitment. I see nodding around the table. And the committee inserted language in House Bill 4, but can you tell us about your walk as well as your talk on this one?
Through the chair, I'd like to pass that on to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been waiting for this question, actually.
I'm glad I asked it. I don't want to be over anxious.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it gives us an opportunity to make sure that we don't have unexpected expectations for Senate Bill 23, and we've been very, very clear on the propane is not the economic driver of the Senate Bill 23. It is the trucking of the LNG to the Fairbanks area in interior Alaska. However, propane is a byproduct of this, and we do anticipate that the plant will be able to provide propane for about 1,800 homes. And then also expand to provide propane for additional. However, what we have committed to do and what we're working with the Alaska Energy Authority rural energy team and also our regional planning is to really look at the opportunities to provide propane and other gas products at these lower costs than diesel to other areas. And so we anticipate through the river system and the road system that wouldn't be served eventually by a pipeline to be able to benefit from either LNG. Now, it's extremely the micro LNG concept, and having something small enough is somewhat of an emerging technology issue that we are exploring, but really the potential is really for propane. Now, this project and the trucking project doesn't necessarily provide enough propane for many, many communities. Again, we're talking about 1,800. However, if there is propane in a larger volume through the pipeline project, what we plan on doing with our regional planning effort that we're working on, and then also our rural energy infrastructure development, is to really analyze the business structure that would be needed and the economics that would be needed and the conversion costs to look at what communities would be available and ones that we could recommend for more of a propane conversion and having that fuel available for their communities. So that is something that we are working on and want to address.
So it's through the trucking aspect, you'd probably only be providing for the off-the-grid interior folks?
Mr. Chairman, at the initial point, we do believe that that's the case. However,
but through your other tools within ADA and AEA, you have, you would, finishing my question, through your other toolbox that you have through this and existing legislation, once you expand upon that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think it's an opportunity, and we addressed this a little bit yesterday, even in House Energy. We did an overview. We discussed, you know, with our programs and our policy development. I really look at this as an opportunity for us to look at a less expensive fuel source for other areas, and so it's really, you know, really expanding the opportunities for more communities to have a gas future than diesel. And so we are looking at that, and it fits very nicely into our development and our evaluation of rural energy infrastructure, and then looking at community needs. But again, we do want to incorporate that with our regional planning efforts, and make sure that we work with the regional leaders to really evaluate that. And we have a very, very strong technical team. Mr. Szymoniak is part of that team to help develop the economics and the analysis of that. We also have technical engineers who've got the experience in rural Alaska to help work with us to provide you good information on what are the conversion costs and how would we be able to deliver propane. In addition, there's been a lot of work that's been done through other state entities that we will be looking at, and looking at the information that they've done. And I know the Northwest Arctic Borough has also been looking at propane as a more available fuel source. So again, we've been discussing this with a variety of regions and their regional planners, and plan on pursuing that.
I sense there's a lot of nodding interest in this, so I'd like to elaborate up first. Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Is there any compatibility that you guys are going to be working with AGDC on the plants on the North Slope? I'm not a gas and oil person, so I don't know the technology or the technical issues that are dealt with you guys converting to LNG and taking the propane out versus what they're going to be doing with the major pipe coming from the same basic area. Is there any compatibility between the two of them?
Mr. Chairman, through Mr. Co-Chairman, I believe the information that we'll be gathering with our rural energy infrastructure and more of our overall energy policy development, the information that we will be producing and the modeling that we'll be doing, I believe will be very valuable to the AGDC folks. I did hear a portion of that testimony when there were questions that came up with respect to propane, and I have we've had every intention of following up with the AGDC group to make sure that we coordinate our efforts and make sure that what we're doing would be useful to them too.
Co-Chair, follow up. You're going to have to build a plant for you guys to extract and make the LNG and put it into a truck and send it to Fairbanks and extract the propanes and those things out at that point in time in the plant on the North Slope. And I could be totally wrong in my perception of the gas pipeline itself. There's only a certain amount of propane that's going to go down the pipeline. And I assume for space-wise, so they can pump more gas down, that they're going to extract some propane and the other natural gas products out of on the North Slope for the gas pipeline. You're shaking your head, Mr. Representative Newman. Maybe I'm wrong in my assumption.
I believe they, I can't recall the testimony, but I believe they said 3,500, equivalent of 3,500 barrels a day.
Of propane would be in the gas, but I don't know whether there's more available that they extract on the North Slope.
Are you asking, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding, well, about approximately 25% of the gas that's produced in Prudhoe Bay is natural gas liquids, which is 2.5 billion cubic feet a day. 2 to 2.5 billion cubic feet a day, about half of that propane. So there's a tremendous amount of propane that's being produced right now, but I believe with House Bill 4, because they reduced the pressures in that to about 1,500 PSI and went to Schedule 70 pipe, the ability to handle propanes in that pipe has been diminished, and they also did not have a demand for it. But if they get to an open season and there is a demand, that they can change those specifics.
My question then, and maybe you can answer it as well, Representative Newman, and as is on the pipeline, is there going to be a plant at the other end, the North Slope, on that end of the pipeline that's going to extract some of these propanes and LNGs out of there to, at that point, put it back in the ground, or?
There, through the chair, Representative, co-chair Osterman, yes, sir, there will be a gas treatment facility there that can process that.
Okay, that gets back to my question, then, if there's a processing plant on the pipeline and a processing plant on the trucking operation, is there compatibility? Have you guys talked about that, looked at that, rather than, I don't know whether there's compatibility or not, that the two projects could come together at some point in time.
Mr. Co-Chair, there is currently the gas treatment facility in Prudhoe Bay can process and does process propane out right now, I believe. And there is a compatibility, and I believe the one that, and they, maybe they can answer themselves, but this is a type of a facility that's a mobile facility that can be used to other areas of the state, and I think they were going to plan on using it towards the Ambler region and gas and some mining development over there.
I hope we'll let, I hope there's a compatibility, because these two bills, House Bill 4 and 23, have been tied together, so there must be some compatibility. Folks.
Mr. Chairman, I think where we fit in with our development is to be, provide information on it. Is there a market, and is there more demand for propane? And is this something that we should be viewing? Again, the trucking proposal and the liquefaction plant would provide a limited amount of propane, and we've discussed that in other options. If there is additional propane available through the other projects, that's where we really want to look at see what type of demand there is, and is there a way that the information and being able to provide it to more rural communities on the river system would be able to be developed. And so again, we think that information will be useful, and again, although we haven't had an opportunity to do it, we've wanted to meet and understand the AGDC approach with respect to what they're looking at or the concern for demand, and hopefully we'll have some of that information available. Now, with respect to the compatibility with the in-state pipeline, again, as we've discussed with our overview on Senate Bill 23, is the distribution system that would be partially financed with the aid of financing embedded in SB 23 will provide a distribution system that could be then served by a pipeline in the area. And again, then the liquefaction plant is a modular system that could then be used in other areas such as the Ambler Mining District. So there is compatibility with what an in-state pipeline would bring, where the trucks would then be replaced by a pipeline. In addition, there is some additional work that we would like to do and work on what type of demand and what type of economic structure needs to be in place in order for propane to be a more viable and a more beneficial low-cost fuel resource for other areas.
Mr. Chairman, I guess where I'm trying to get to, and I'm not getting there, and that is the you're going to have a liquefaction plant on the pipeline. You're going to have a liquefaction plant on your project. And why do we need two?
Through the chair to Representative Osterman's question. The scale of the liquefaction plants are completely different. Ours is expected to produce about 9 BCF a day, and while I haven't seen the exact plants or proposals for the liquefaction plant associated with the in-state pipeline, any plant associated with that pipeline would be order of magnitude larger. So while the pipeline, if it does come or when it does come, our plant will be able to relocate somewhere along it and serve in-state need, it certainly won't be able to replace the LNG plant that would be expected to use for exports.
Why don't you just get your gas, Mr. Chairman, why don't you just get your gas from the pipeline liquefaction plant that we're talking about?
Through the chair to Representative Osterman, and I'm the finance guy here, so not the technical guy.
Yes, we have an open season and a lot later schedule to go through it.
I do believe that, again, the gas treatment plant for the in-state pipeline is just treating the gas and then shooting the gas down, whereas our plant is really, it has a gas treatment in it because we need to do that to liquefy the gas. But our plant is mainly utilized to liquefy gas. And again, one of the things where our plant is compatible with the in-state pipeline is that it may be a customer to the in-state pipeline. If it's moved down to Fairbanks, we could take gas off the pipeline, liquefy it, and then transfer it down the Richardson Highway, for example, or to the Ambler Mining District. So they're really not, Nick, the exact same type of purpose plants, are they, from my understanding?
Through the chair, we would expect them to be serving primarily different demands. The LNG export plant with the pipeline would be serving primarily the export license, though you did mention providing LNG to coastal communities served from that plant. And that's something that we have already considered looking at as part of the plans that Ms. Fischer-Go discussed with using propane and also some of this emerging technology to send propane and LNG to rural communities, both on the road system and river system. We suspect that on the demand side, the infrastructure needed and the technology needed and the research and study needed to integrate those fuels will be the same for the coastal communities that could be served by an LNG plant coming off the pipeline as it is with the RLNG plant. So we see kind of this effort to understand that potential demand moving forward in parallel, and the demand that could be served from the pipeline is something we're looking at concurrently.
I think I got it, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the Chairman, Mr. Representative Osterman, I think it would help, the way I see this anyhow, is I don't know why this business plan would want to be tied to another piece of legislation that's building another pipeline. I think that this business plan is built totally on its own to have this gas liquefaction facility that can be used elsewhere in the state is independent of whether another pipeline moves forward or not, and I think that's a good way to do it.
I don't think we'd be talking about gas for Fairbanks in the calendar year 2015 then either, but Representative Holmes and then Wilson and Hera.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my understanding of the, and I'm talking primarily about Senate Bill 23 here, that part, not the 74 part. So my understanding of the project is that the goal is, in many of our minds, a short to medium term goal. I think a lot of people in the building would like to see the long term goal be a pipeline of some sort. But the short to medium term goal is to get relatively clean, affordable energy to the interior in the short to medium term. And hopefully, maybe as a side benefit, be able to provide a little bit of additional gas to the extent South Central has a little bit of a gap that it needs to fill in the short to medium term. So my question is this going to provide the Senate Bill 23 model, is that likely to provide more affordable gas to the interior than an alternative of importing LNG and either trucking or railing it up to the interior? I mean, you can either ship it south or you can ship it north, and if the goal is to get affordable energy to an area that's really distressed right now, is this a more affordable option than the alternative?
Through the chair, with respect to having interior needs served by an import, we really don't have anything to actually model with that. Currently, Fairbanks Natural Gas does have supply coming in from Cook Inlet and trucking up north. However, the gas supply has not been there in order for that particular model to be expanded. So we really don't have anything to compare with that. However, what we do know with the work that's been done and the planning for trucking from the North Slope, which has been our presentation from Senate on Senate Bill 23, is that there are two entities that have long-term gas contracts at a range in the cost that we know, somewhere between $3 and $4 and MCF. We have the estimates in the cost structure of the plant, of which then the economics of it show that we can make a significant reduction in the cost for heating in interior Alaska through the plan that's presented in Senate Bill 23. With respect to that, we just don't, there's gaps with respect to even knowing if there's an alternative that would be less expensive. do you want to add anything to that?
There would be a major facility required to do that as well somewhere.
I think affordable energy. I'm just asking, is this the most affordable?
There are folks shopping around opposing the building, but I don't think they want to say anything publicly, and so that kind of makes it hard to discuss it. Representative Wilson and then Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of want to get back to the propane a little bit, because I know you've talked about most of it possibly going to the more rural areas of Fairbanks. But in reality, though, that propane is going to be up to anybody who wants to utilize that, a company who wants to then sell it. Because unlike within the city of Fairbanks, city of North Polar, where most people are using oil, the more outskirts you're getting into wood and coal, so you've got a whole different economical dynamic going on. So propane's really to whoever wants to buy it, what company wants to buy it, and then take it out, and that may go into the rural area, it could go into the rural part of Fairbanks, but that's really up to the commercial side of it. Is that correct?
To the chair, that is correct. We anticipate that the propane may initially be used in the surrounding parts of Fairbanks, but we are taking very deliberate efforts to study and pursue the opportunities to provide propane to rural Alaska. So we're going beyond just letting the market dictate where it goes. We're actually actively trying to better understand the opportunities to provide this propane to rural Alaska.
And follow up, sir?
Representative Wilson.
And also when it gets to, when we're talking about the gas portion of it, because of the storage tax credit, it is possible that Delta or Healy or any of those the smaller communities around could take advantage of that storage credit and then actually have it trucked and make their development the same way as what North Pole is looking at.
Through the chair, that is also correct. And that would, I'm assuming you're referring to the LNG portion, not just the propane stream at that.
Correct. I know that Fairbanks, Mr. Chair, is the big portion of it because of the population of it. But we also have put a lot of other parts in there that other communities in the interior area will be able to take advantage. So I just want to make sure that it has a big potential of growth going on. Thank you.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, I don't want to create any false hopes, so let me just ask you this question. The original HB4 was designed to have one or two extra straddle plants. It was a thicker pipe, and the goal was to also produce propane in larger amounts that could be shipped downriver. That part of the project was taken out. From what I understand, it's a thinner pipe that won't be able to handle as many liquids. I'm with Representative Osterman. I don't know how to produce propane descended down a river system, but it sounds like two straddle plants have been taken out. The pipe has been made thinner. And what Mr. Dubler said was, if propane is going to be shipped down the river system to rural Alaska, those folks are going to have to pay the extra cost to add the infrastructure on the pipeline to produce the propane. So is there any study or have you done any analysis to see whether that's actually cost effective or whether that would just require a state subsidy, which folks may or may not object to?
Through the chair to the representative's question, the actual physical makeup and operation of the pipeline discussed in HB4 is not our project, so we can't directly speak to that. What the Energy Authority is currently doing is trying to better understand the potential demand for that pipeline or that propane gas that could come off a pipeline. We are not actually looking at the cost of producing propane off that pipeline.
That's just one follow-up. And this is something that I don't have a great understanding of. I've just heard generally that the pipeline is going to be a pipeline that can't handle as much pressure and can't handle as much propane from the North Slope down to Fairbanks. Would that have to be changed in order for it to carry as much propane that would be needed to ship propane downriver to rural communities?
Through the chair, again, I can't speak to HB4 specifically. Really, we are limited to understanding the propane demand that could exist. We see an opportunity to work with AGDC on developing rural propane demand, though we are not dependent upon working with them or dependent upon the propane stream coming off that pipeline to make this a successful LNG trucking project.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think we should probably get back to the bills that we're trying to pass.
Representative Osterman.
Though I did ask those questions in part for Representative Edgman, who wasn't here, so.
I'm sure he appreciates the help.
Representative Edgman, would you like to lift your own water? No, just kidding. It's generally, I would like to make sure people speaking for me are people.
Well, let me just. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was actually taking a phone call with a constituent. You know, obviously a lot of what we're talking about this morning is conceptual. It's forward-looking. It's down the road. We all hope that we get a gas pipeline, that we get those propane byproducts out to the rest of Alaska and so forth. But a quick questions. The AEA's got a rural energy conference coming up. Is this whole issue going to be a topic of discussion? Are you going to be breakout panels? Is this something that you're going to highlight as part of your rural energy team?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, do we have a propane? You know, Mr. Chairman, we will have to get back to the committee with respect to that. I think that's the agenda is near final. I'm not certain where the propane discussion fits into that, but we will address that, Mr. Representative Edgman. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to have this sort of extended conversation on the broader picture involving natural gas, because I think it's really important. I look at the efforts of AA overall, the Renewable Energy Grant Fund. I think Wantana is in this discussion somewhere in the background as well. There's a lot going on, but to the extent that we could get our troops in rural Alaska involved, and particularly in the regional basis at this early stage, is important. So the role that AA can play conveying the message and really helping inform what's happening down here as it relates to the years going forward is, I think, going to be valuable.
Any other questions for the AEA panel? Well, we will bring this up again, hopefully fairly soon. Appreciate the. We have Mr. Davis is in Anchorage. Did you have any testimony, sir? Is he just a...
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Davis. I did not.
Okay. Was there anybody... I know there's a lot of people listening in. Is there anybody here in the audience that wanted to comment on this? Is there anybody out from... I know the Interior Trust, their friends over there, we're watching out for them. I think they're listening, but... we had some very targeted testimony, I think, that reflected a group representing a lot of people. I noticed the Senate co-chairman from the Interior has his staff here observing it. So I think everybody from the Interior knows this is going on, and the folks that aren't testifying today, it's not for lack of interest. I think they've expressed their support both in the Labor and Commerce and on the other associated bill. So I think it's been a I just want to note that it's probably a effort to try to restrain the amount of testimony because of the time constraint. Is that a fair assessment, Representative Thompson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, it is. We're hoping to see some movement before the deadline is approaching, and I'm very pleased to see that we're discussing both HB 74 and SB 23. They are basically separate ideas, you know.
They were originally in the same bill. Though.
They were. They took out the trucking portion from HB 74 and set that up to where it can be utilized around the state for other big projects. And I'm pleased to see that that's moving also. But SB 23 is the one that directs the Interior energy problem. So I'm pleased to see that they're both moving around.
Not around. Forward.
Forward. Yeah. Forward.
So with that, is there anybody, we'll just make one last clarion call out to anybody listening anywhere, rural or interior Alaska. That's that's one of the shortfalls of this time of the year as well. We're not able to give the protracted amount of time for testimony, but this bill has been scheduled for, or been on our calendar pending discussion for quite a while. So we'll go ahead and close the public testimony so we can fulfill that part of the process. But, we'll consider reopening if there's any targeted testimony. So that will set these two bills aside. We might have Senate Bill 21 in our possession, but we had planned to have the administration representatives come and present the bill on Friday morning. So we will keep you posted on this afternoon's schedule. We may just do our diligent work on a lot of other things where we have to get done. With that, we will stand adjournment. We'll keep you posted on the activities, if any, for 1:30 this afternoon. So we'll stand in adjournment. No,